interesting eye part. Sorry.
Basically, on the IIS side of things, the way this thing is served is on three different servers. And if one of those servers, somebody logs out of that server, the whole thing goes down. So so somebody logged back in today, and it's actually on Monday, and it's been fine ever since. So it was just a very simple thing just to log in. Anyway, I'm going to share my screen with Zach. I'll take you through the steps. I don't know. Has anybody actually signed up for it yet? I know Phone has. Okay, great.
We can't see your screen, Rob.
I know, I haven't shared it yet.
Okay, good.
All right. So you should see the portal for the Maptitude for redistricting. The first thing I'm going to say is that the commission needs a web page before this web page. You need a link on the redistricting site on the drop-down menu that goes to a page, and then that page should describe the parameters for everything that should be found and how to do it and some instructions on it. Because as you can see, it is a very blank and kind of generic page. So there'll need to be like a redistricting splash page that'll need to be developed. But this website will work. So it's redistricting.ulster, and I'll share it in a link.
Rob, do you have any language that you would suggest for that page?
I can come up with some very easily, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to share the link in the chat for anybody who doesn't have it. Okay, so if you're a new user, you'd go in, and everybody can see this. So it tells you how to do it on the right-hand side here. And then the verification email process now works. We got that working too. So very simple sign-up. Once you're in, this will actually start out blank. So you can create a new plan, or you can open one of your existing plans. I'm going to start a new plan. Now, yesterday I developed a plan which had a base or two base points. One which is from scratch, nothing done. The second one I did was existing legislative districts with the 2020 adjusted population in them. So we have both of them. Which one of you guys? I'm going to start from scratch. I'll do that one. There's also, before I go on to the next page, there's one for a shared. So everybody who access the site will have the ability to share their plans, and it doesn't matter what state you left them. So if you start with one district and you want to share it from there and go back and forth, people can use that as a starting point for their map. So for example, I did this, which is Town of Olive, Shandaken, Denning, and Harmburg as one district, since it's within two people of the average. So I suggested that as a nice, easy starting point. But I'll start from scratch. So I have to do is create, name it. I like to name it with the date. This way I remember. That is today's date, right? And it'll come up. Ah, I already did that one. So let's see. We'll create new. There we go. All right. Takes a little bit to load, but not too long. And you have the whole county here. And it's pretty straightforward. So you have to set your target, which is either the unassigned population, which is everything right now, or a new district. So you would set it to a new district. Your source could be all or unassigned. Everything is unassigned at the moment. So I always keep it on unassigned, or at least to start. So see how it highlighted in red? That's everything. And then your selection area. So you could start with the smallest level, the census block. You could go to census block group, the county subdivision, which I added. So you can add towns directly, or census tract. And just so you know, the county subdivision ones, I have them equaling the census blocks. It's not what you see in the census from the the town totals. It's actually the block data behind it. So it grabs the block data as a town. So there won't be discrepancies.
So Rob, just to clarify, the target is the district we're going to create.
Right.
And the source is where we're going to take those people from.
Right. And the selection is the level of geography we're going to use. So I'm going to use county subdivision. This is a nice easy start.
Rob, do you have a suggestion on which level we should select to start off with? I'm imagining, like, as we really get deep, you're going to want to get to the smallest level. But is county subdivision, do you think, is like a good starting place for digging into, putting matching blocks together? Or should we be getting smaller than that?
Well, I think it's a good starting point for where we're at a macro scale now. So you can start there and see what's, and then as you get into real nitty gritty, I mean, most of this work is going to be done at the block level. Most of it will be, because you'll find that they go past certain areas too often. So, but when you're beginning, you can do some of the towns. Most of the towns, most of the time, you're going to want to go to the block group or the track level to start. And then from there. So for example, I can select the town of Hardenburg. I can select Denning. I can select Shandaken. And I can select Town of Olive here. And then when I'm done with that, I can either exit out and clear it, or I can accept it. And then it'll ask me what the district ID is. And we can change all district ID names at the end, just so you know. You don't even have to fill this part out if you don't want to.
But you can see down on the changes that he made.
Yeah.
It shows the third value down is our target population, mm-hmm. and the first two are how many people he put in there.
Correct. So you can see it's two off, 7, 8, 17 compared to our average of 7, 8, 15. So two people. And that's why I suggest this is a good starting point, because it's so close to the average. And bang, there's a district, and you can see immediately it's within 3 hundredths of the average. And there you go from there. And then from, if you want to share your plan with the rest, say this is your starting point, and you say, hey, I did something that's neat, I want to share it with everybody who is using this software, you can just share it and everybody will have access to it. That's their own starting point. So you could do that. Let's see. There's also some plan integrity. See these things under plan integrity? This is find unassigned areas and find uncontiguous districts. These are two vital functions when you think you're close to done. This will find all the little holes, and you will definitely find little holes as you go through it. There are some reporting details for a population summary and measures of compactness in here. There are also, let's see, you can see adjust the label sizes. And also, you can see a summary of all the districts that you create as you go along. And then when you're done, and the only way you can be done is if you've, this is a final submission, so you're not allowing any other edits to it. It has to be within plus minus 5%, and you have to have all 23 districts done. So if I even try to hit that, it said, nope, can't do it. Any questions?
Rob, I'm sorry. Yeah, Rob, can we ask questions along the way here?
Oh, I mean, I'm pretty much done. So if you have any questions, go right.
Oh, okay. It. Okay. Well, I mean, you certainly picked a nice, easy one. That's exactly where I started too. I found that looking at the toolbox, if I were not so much in those four municipalities in the western part, but if I moved to the right in Woodstock or even Saugerties, and I selected, okay, what did you just do?
I zoomed in.
But show us how you did that, because that can be
Yeah.
So there's two ways to zoom in and zoom out. I'll be real nitty gritty. And there's tips here. You can constantly call up the tips as you go along through it. Oh, it was not that. And that wasn't it. The help button. So it'll tell you how to do all what all the tools mean, everything means as you go through it. But there's the zoom button, zoom out, the pan button, which is the hand, is going to be your friend, because that's going to be allowing you to move the map around.
Right.
And then, of course, there's identification, and I'll tell you some details about, see, the census block, the block group. It'll tell you all sorts of information.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, yes. when I got into those into those areas, what I found was that if I had selected census block, right, mm-hmm. it might jump over to group, and I'd click on it, and mm-hmm. I'd get a bigger area than I wanted.
Well,
how does that happen?
I don't know what happened, but let's zoom in a little bit and see what happens. Let me go. I'll zoom into the village. Sort it here. There we go. Oh, you can also use your mouse scroll to go in a bit further. But I find it doesn't refresh very quickly when I do that.
So at that point, if you want to slide it over, you have to go back and touch that little hand.
Right. So I can move it around a bit. But so we have that center. So now we're seeing, as the further you zoom in, the more detail you see. So what you're seeing are the blocks right now. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to create a new district, let's call it, doesn't matter. New district. We'll use the unassigned. There are other selection tools. You can select a circle or a polygon too as you go through it. Sometimes I like to do that. And so you can start off, draw a line. And you can finish it off. Look, I made an error there. What did mm-hmm. I do? I selected mm-hmm. county subdivision and it selected the whole town. So, oh no, what I do? I can press undo. So go to census block and I can try that again. I can either go one at a time or again, I can try a circle and all radius is changeable. You have to move your mouse to do it. You'll get the hang of it. And it grabs those, or I can use the polygon tool. And it'll automatically finish it pretty much. So again, it grabs it. And then again, so that's way off from the margin, but that's the starting point. But so you always have to be, so say you accidentally clicked from this is easier actually to show when I did the complete county with the existing legislative districts, because you're constantly shuffling from one district to another. So say I'm doing another district just for ha-has here, and I'm still using census block. So I'm grabbing these. This is a new district just for show. And we'll call it district number 3. But I meant those things in 3 to be in 2. So what I do is I make my target now 2. And I make my selection area 3. So we'll only select from 3. So if I click outside of 3, it won't do anything. So I have to select from inside of 3 to get a selection. And then I can check it. And it becomes part of 2. So there's going to be a lot of shuffling back and forth. There's also a way, this button here allows you to shuffle that. So it can be 2 to 3 or 3 to 2. So it reverses it. And that's really useful when you're unassigning things or redoing things as you go through it.
Rob, which button did you go to? The one next to the one on the end underneath target? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this one shifts them back and forth. So it shifts the source and the target. It flips them.
Thank you.
That's a really useful feature.
Okay, thank you.
And you can go in and play with these tools until you get comfortable with them.
Right. You can go tonight.
It's like a test now. You know, map and it. Throw it away. You don't have to show it to anybody.
No.
So. Rob, when you make those geographical patterns, mm-hmm. are you cutting, can you, it seems like it's grabbing tracks, right? Can it break up tracks?
Not real. Well, tracks are built of blocks. Tracks right. are built of block groups. So you can't cut something in half that unless it is actually a completed census block or a completed census block group. So you can never chop them.
Okay. So that's
so if I wanted to go to the block group level, for example, let's see what happens. And well, my targets are all messed up right now. But if I went to block group, it would be the block group is much larger, so it grabs that whole big portion of it.
Right.
So actually, this is a good opportunity to show you the plan integrity tool where you can find non-contiguous areas, and it'll show you, it'll show you the whole county, or it'll show you this little gap here that's not contiguous. So as you go through and you do a review, it'll find all the gaps. You can make all the little fixes. A lot of the fixes you'll find are right on the boundaries. There are these little slivers with zero population in them, but you still got to pick them up.
And the numbers inside those blocks are how many people are in that block, right?
Correct. That's the adjusted population.
So, and that can be helpful if you only are looking to add like 200 or 300 people to kind of get something closer to see how many people are in those blocks.
Right. Like I said, most of what we're going to be doing is definitely at the block level because it's going to get that down to the nitty gritty, trying to figure out this district. Any other questions?
Sure. So Rob, just real quickly, you can expand a certain area by going to layers. Is it layers or, wait a minute, are there options under layers?
Layers.
No.
You mean target or under the selection area?
Is there a way, Rob, for us to see like what's physically there, like where there's like houses, businesses, and
unfortunately the aerials don't come into this, so you might have to do it. So if you really want to see the land use, might with this version, you might have to use Google Map side by side and say where am I a little bit. You might have to do that. Like when we're going through, if we're really going through it later, when we're trying to get down to nitty gritty, I can bring it out the full version. I can bring up the aerial and we can look at things together, and I can bring in everybody's plans, hopefully into one interface, and we can look at all the different plans at once with that different level of data, but just bring in the aerials.
There are physical boundaries within these tracks. There are also zero population tracks, right? Mm-hmm. So would a track cross a physical boundary like a creek or something like that, or a stream?
It might, but often track boundaries would be those streams, for example, or could be those major roads.
Okay. I see. So if it includes or crosses a physical boundary, it is a census track, just there's no people there.
Possibly. I'm not sure I follow.
I mean, in some cases, in a physical way, no one's living on a railroad track, I know.
Correct.
Yeah.
When you get to the reservoir, when you try to click the boundary just south of the reservoir, it captures the
entire reservoir.
The shoreline on the northern side of it, which is zero population, but the map would look nicer if it didn't include the reservoir.
Right.
That's the census block.
Well, that's the water.
Right, that's the water. So that's grabbing the reservoir.
So one grab. Just below the water in the first white area, which is also zero.
Yeah, and that's also a census block. So it's zero. So it grabs a lot.
So you see it's grabbing the entire shoreline, which is zero population. Mm-hmm. But it's a logical dividing place, perhaps, for a district.
Right.
That's where it was last time. But I think it's going to be interesting and complicated this time because of the different population shifts. So I'll leave it at that.
So what's the end of this process? What do we end up with, and what do we deliver, and who do we deliver it to, and what's it look like?
It looks like 23 districts as close to that 7815 as possible while giving consideration to things including the charter.
But do we deliver the maps or do we deliver the list of blocks like the
we deliver the map. The program also produces the list of blocks. It also produces a meets and bounds description.
That's for the Board of Elections more
right.
than.
Right. So the these public. Those are that's pretty much what gets delivered.
Okay. So looking at the last, it's like 40 pages of block map.
Yes.
Something like that. Is that what we deliver?
Yeah, that's what we delivered. I mean, that was how we were told to delineate, and I basically created a report that had all the sense. It was time-consuming.
And this program will produce that for us?
Yes, the desktop version, yes.
Good.
Anything else?
You're going to move on, Rob, to a tweaking exercise.
A tweaking exercise?
Well,
you want me to bring up the
what was and then how you would tweak it if you wanted to.
I can do that, sure. Why not? Let's see it. All right.
I didn't say twerking.
No. Please no. Okay, new plan. So this is using the existing legislative district. I'll just call it the existing test. And there you have it. And that's the existing district. So you can see that District 22 is what I put out together tonight. It's still the same. And you can see District 1 is within 900. That's pretty good as well. Any place you want me to go?
Maybe between 1 and 23? Or
I can go...
Yeah, 23.
23? I can go into the city of Kingston. I can go anywhere you like. So... So...
23, what you want to do is take a block group, which is Glenford, out and put it into Hurley.
So right now we're almost 5% over here. So it has to get smaller. So, and we can see 18 is under 5%, but still away from the deviation. So, but it can still grow a little bit. So let's try that. So new target will be 18, let's say. Or see that this is where it gets hairy. Because I can make the target 18, or I can make really the only place to go from there is 18, or you start thinking about different ways 23 expands into sorority.
Can we go into one?
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. There's different this is number of different permutations. But for sake of argument, I'll just do this. 23. New target is 18. Source is 23. And I can grab, I don't know, right by the rail trail over here.
You want to grab a block group?
You want me to grab a block group?
Yeah, the one at the on the west.
Okay, I can do that. Let's let him come up. It gets real big over here real fast. It gets, I highly recommend using, come on. There you go. So. So I could add this to 18 per se. That makes that though huge. It makes 23, compliant, but it makes 18 completely uncompliant. So you have, so that's where you know you have to use the blocks to get where you want to get.
Also, people in that new district would have to drive around the reservoir to vote.
Exactly. So that's not as friendly. So, fortunately, we can press the undo.
Yeah, but they're all in the town of Hurley already.
So any other examples you want to see? Or
Rob, is there a way of let's say a constituent calls and is having trouble and wants to work, like, is there some way two of us could be looking at the same map at the same time and talking about it?
Zoom. If you can, Zoom with them and share screens, obviously. Or if you're using the shared plan, you could say if it's a user and they're having trouble, ask them to share their plan. They could call. They should be calling me up. Share their plan with me, and then I can look at with them. I mean, if they're having, I mean, only if they're having like technical issues or something like that. If they're having issues where with the population, I suggest they address the board itself, not me.
So you were just playing with this, the existing districts.
Yes.
If you save it, we're still going to have that existing district base map to go back to?
Correct. So this is there, and this is, I've created a new little file where I can, this user can tweak it however they like. So it's another alternate starting point from a raw base pimp, raw map. So
Rob, you were saying you prefer to start with a clean, well,
is a clean slate.
a clean slate. And why would that be better than making these changes
exists? The population changes with respect to the prison are so extreme as mm-hmm. to the where the geographies are going to go are going to change. The districts in the south are going to have to increase in size because that's where the prisons were, in order to capture a necessary population. And the ones in the north are going to have to shrink in size so they can get down in size. So there's a lot of moving parts. So if you move, like you saw there, if I move one part, then I have to move another part here. And then I'm constantly moving another part here. And I'm always shuffling. If you start from scratch, then you can go a little bit to one point of comfort, start another portion, get to a point of comfort, and then you can tweak it from there. It might be less frustrating. I don't know. You can pick your own poison, really.
Right. So either one is acceptable.
Your one is acceptable.
Under the circumstances that you were describing, the major changes are going to occur in the southern part of the county. Would it make sense to start there because that's where the biggest changes are or will be?
It could. It's up to. I mean,
I'm just trying to be practical here. Right? Would that make sense? Or
it does make some sense to start from Worsing Chungam. It also, to me, makes sense from a compactness point of view to start at your urban centers and start from those circles and move out. This, remember, you want as concentric as possible. Mm-hmm. So start from New Paltz, start from Kingston, etc.
Were we able to get any other political boundaries as an overlay, like the school district boundaries, just because I think that, like, culturally people within things like that are more in alignment. So, like, if you were to exit, like, the Anchior school district and include, like, pieces of the Kingston school district, that might be, like, strange as far as, like, similar geographic issues that occur. I think it just might help us to figure out like how to piece up parts of the geography in the way that it breaks. Not that that's like a law, but just that it allows us to see how the county's already segmented. I think that we, when we did the vendor review with Maptitude, I think she had mentioned it in passing, but admittedly, we did talk to a few programs, so
I think I could do it similarly to how I did in the county subdivisions. They are a census layer. They bring in, keep in mind that school districts that go beyond county boundaries, so it looks a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have them do what the county subdivisions do in this case, which is conform to they've built up of blocks, but I'd have to reload it from I'd have to create it locally and then reload it. It's a little bit of a process, but I could. And then it would and then it would become another selectable layer, but it wouldn't be useful as a selectable layer because they're always too big.
Right. I'm not sure I'm looking to select like the whole school district in, but more just to see where the boundaries are. If you're going to pick one block versus another block, if one's within the school district and one's without, I just think it might be a helpful tool of picking one over the other, but I don't know how the rest of the commission feels about that. Perhaps not helpful. But seems to me like existing political boundaries, might be helpful to us.
Rob, if we have questions that we probably will subsequent to this evening, what should or could we do?
If you have questions regarding using the software,
using the tool, right?
Yeah, just
exactly.
Call me, email me. I'm here most days, 9 to 5, and okay. I check my email over the weekends too. So try not to pester me too much.
I found that out.
I have one final question, which is that if I, if I make a bunch of progress on a map, but I need to like put it down and come back to it later, obviously you can't submit the plan until it's complete.
It automatically saves
your progress. It does. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it automatically saves.
Cool. Thanks.
Just make sure you log out when you're done. It'll save regardless, but you should log out anyway.
When you first log in, you'll have a list of all the maps you've made that are unique to you.
This link here, My Plans, will take you to that base screen. So you can see the two we made tonight and then some of the ones I played with.
Awesome. Thanks.
Anyone else have questions of Rob for right now? Okay. All right. Rob, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Rob, for making yourself available if we, if we need you. I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you for everything this week, Rob.
You're not kidding. I'd like to move on to Ken Panzo, who is one of our commissioners, of course. And he has not only done a lot of homework, but he's done a lot of comparisons and analysis between 2010 and 2020. He's looked closely at the blocks, he's made lots of comments about those. And so I think Ken, your energy and your interests, have really perhaps outstripped certainly mine, but maybe some others. So we thank you for that. And if you wouldn't mind going into your explanation, we did see your summation a few days ago. I read it carefully. I certainly had had some questions, but as you're making your presentation, if you could, in a sense, juxtapose that with some of what Rob had put together, and just how you see one complementing complementing each other. So I'll open it to you. Thank you, Ken, for doing this.
Well, Fawn, let me try and share again.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Let me stop sharing.
Because I think I may have broken the code here.
Okay.
How's that look?
That looks okay.
Okay.
Darn good.
That way I have complete control.
That's good.
Well, Rich has called me up the other day and said, can you put together a quick presentation to explain, what you've been doing and where you're going with this, and bring the, although, I've sent most of this stuff out in reports, this is just a quick summary of kind of what I've found. Let's see if I can clip this. It all started back at the beginning when I joined the committee and we learned that the 2020 census had been delayed. And we talked about, well, maybe the way to become familiar with the census data and the software and the structure and the districts and the issues that faced other counties is that we just ought to reconsider the 2010 reapportionment. I have to admit that suggestion really didn't go over all that well with the commission, but the data was available. So I downloaded it downloaded the 2010 census. They had an abbreviated file, which was much smaller than what the existing file is, and they have 700 different variables in it. They just gave you the population and the structures. I used legacy software, and I'm the legacy software guy that was MS Access, which is a relational database. And once you get a lot of data into that, you can pretty much do anything you want with it. A big part of it was just getting the current district. So I scanned in all those 40 pages of cell block numbers that was available in the final report. And I was able to confirm or go through the whole process and come up with the same district populations that that they came up with 10 years ago. But the advantage was is that, you know, this was really an exercise in learning how the census data is structured. I've never really dealt with census data before, but and Rob has taken us through some of this, but the once you start dealing with census blocks on the raw data, you're dealing with a 15-digit number, and you're dealing with this hierarchy of census data. You have the cell, the census blocks at the bottom, which are what you typically think of a block, so, an area that someone could actually walk and interview people. And then they put those into groups, which really don't get much prevalence in the documentation. Then it goes into census tracts, which are much larger areas. I mean, a whole town may be a tract, or a town may be two tracts, and those are very large populations. Then it summarizes up into the county. But the whole process of going through the reapportionment from 2010 really brought me up to speed on what some of these numbers mean and what they look like. In August, the 2020 census was announced and released. This was the full census data. Again, it was available for legacy software. They said they were postponing the announcement of what they call ease of use software. I don't know what that means. But the underlying data was there were very small changes in the actual county populations. If you looked at the town populations and the county populations, there were minor changes. Ulster County was a pretty stable population. And this is where we had some of the problems with what we looked at with Rob's data, because he was doing calculations based on the changes in the districts, and the district changes just didn't really correspond to the underlying population changes in the towns. So there were, a couple of major differences between that census and this one. One was there was a major restructuring of all the census blocks. A lot of blocks disappeared. Some new ones were added. And then the census announced, we're going to scramble the cell, the information in the census box, meaning the populations that you're looking at on that for a census block is probably going to be wrong, because the Census Bureau says they're going to make them wrong. And the reason they did that is because with the files you have today, like the voter registration files, like the parcel data files, you can probably identify every person who's filled out a census form. And that would be a violation of the confidentiality of the census. So the Census Bureau has scrambled it, so you can't do that. So that's a consideration that we should keep in mind as you're shuffling census blocks around. But here's some of the details. 2010 versus 2020. 2010, there were 6,200 census blocks. In 2020, about 4,300. So that's a difference of about 2,400, which disappeared. They added another 500 in the census blocks, and they eliminated, a lot of census blocks. There were 3,700, which really stayed the same from one census to the next. So that, when you just take an analysis of taking putting a file from 2010 against 2020, your results are going to be unexpected. You're really not going to get a good reading from what I understand. There were, and some of this shows what the Census Bureau did. In 2010, there were 871 zero population cells, which became populated in the 2020 census. Now, that could be new constructions, that could be people moving in, whatever. But in the 2020 census, there were people that were in census blocks, 415 of them, were in 2020, those census blocks were empty. Meaning we ran those people out of the county. And the explanation for that is because the Census Bureau is shuffling the data around, so you can't really depend on what the data is in any particular census block. Now, let's see. Next slide. So by design, the 2020 census has distorted the information in the census blocks. And so this is a graph of some of the changes between 2010 and 2020. That first bar, the one that's high, that shows that any census block, the population has changed between 0 and 5 people. Well, you have an established neighborhood, people move in and out. But the actual number of housing units really didn't change. And so it kind of goes down. But you get to the end here, and you have about 400 census blocks where the population has increased by over 100. That means there's about 40,000 people in Ulster County that move from one block to another. And that, that's just not realistic. And the explanation for that is because that's where the Census Bureau is shuffling the data around and making it so you can't really identify where those people are. Again, that's something to keep in mind. Let's see here. So this is I published this before. This is what they said before. Instead of looking for precision on the individual block levels, they strongly recommend users to aggregate blocks together. And this is where the block groups are so important, because those are specified aggregates which we can move around and create new districts. So here's how it looks. There's about 4,300 census blocks. You're really not going to use this program and shuffle 4,300 census blocks to come up with a balance among all 23 districts. But there's 155 block groups. And so what you're looking at is a puzzle with 155 pieces that you have to distribute into 23 districts. That's a much more reasonable job. You get up to census tracts, there are 50. Those are much too big of areas to really deal with on a town. I mean, they cover a whole town, or maybe two of them cover a town. And finally, the county. And of course, the 2020 census was based on what the 20 census found. That's not the New York numbers. So the New York made adjustments to the census populations, removed, probably about 2,000 people from that were incarcerated. This directly impacts two districts. They put a hole into the Warsing and the Shongum district where the prisons were located, of 1,000 people missing. And when you go through the process, it indirectly affects the districts along the Hudson, because that's where you're picking up the additional space. So the block groups are very important. The 2020 census and their raw data actually summarized the block groups for Ulster County, all the counties.
Kent, can we ask any questions as you're going along?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll just...
No, it's okay. I just want to know if it's okay.
Sure.
Yeah. If just so I understand this, the census blocks were created based on... I'm talking about the two municipalities you're talking about where we have the state prisons. Those are not going to change the blocks, right? So the number of people in the blocks, are those U.S. Census numbers now, or are those adjusted numbers within those blocks?
Well, we have both.
Okay.
What we're going to be dealing with is the adjusted numbers.
Right.
But the the comparisons that were made between the 2020 census and the 2010 census were done on the census data, not the New York adjusted data.
Right. Right. Now,
for most of the areas, you find out how many criminals you have in Woodstock by comparing the two numbers. But, the real difference occurs when those two districts for the 2,000 people were removed from the total counts.
Just to clarify, Rob, the numbers we're looking at on the map right now are just the adjusted numbers, right?
Correct.
Right. Those are the numbers we should be dealing with.
Yes. Okay.
Adjusted numbers. And those cause us a problem down south. So we, but the adjusted numbers don't give you the block counts. You have to calculate those, which I did, and which probably this program does. If it includes block groups. And so these are questions for the reapportionment software, which I think Rob answered a lot. But you can go ahead and do things on a cell block basis, a census block basis, but it's probably much more reasonable to do it on a group basis where you're dealing with larger entities of population rather than trying to do it one at a time. See if this works. Okay. Did I do that right? All right. So I sent you a listing last weekend and said I had pretty much completed. I got 20 districts out of 23 to balance out. Well, I completed that. I have all 23 districts all balanced out within 7,815 plus or minus 15%. Did this all with block groups? It looks like I had to split a couple of block groups to get the things balanced, but I did not manipulate any of the individual census blocks. There was no moving one census block at a time back and forth. Everything was done with groups of blocks, either full block groups or a partial block group, where I split it in half. And that was based on the suggestion from the Census Bureau is that you'd really need to deal with aggregates of cell blocks, of census blocks, not with individual census blocks. All right. So I've completed the first phase of at least an initial allocation of the population across all the districts. So I'll take you through a quick jog around the maps. This is the current map. As Rob said, Socrates pretty much stayed the same. So there weren't much changes there. On Woodstock, I sliced out part of Hurley to reduce that population and merged it in with Hurley. So if they're on the other side of the reservoir, I don't know where the polling places are there, but I moved.
I'm sorry, Rob. Ken, excuse me. If I could just jump in really quick, because of the titles, I'm a little confused. Is this you're just moving around the old map, and so the titles remain the same?
Yeah, I'm just moving around. Just trying to give you a bird's eye view of the changes I made. But I don't have the maps made yet.
I see. Just because it's titled "Approved Redistricting Plan," so I just wanted for those perhaps not on the commission who are watching.
This is 2012.
Well, it says 2012 legislative districts up there.
I know, but you said you moved something, so I wasn't sure if you were showing us an old map or if you were showing us something.
2012 legislative district. I'm showing you an old map. So I'm telling you what changes I've made.
Right. You're telling us what changes you made while pointing at a 2020 legislative district map. So I'm just trying to be clear about what exactly we're looking at.
So the change I made was I moved out part of what's probably Glenford here, not Glenford, yeah, maybe, into which is part of Hurley and merged it in with Hurley. What that did is that moved Hurley up and it pushed Rosendale more into Marlborough on my map, on my proposal. The South Side District, Rob said that stayed the same. With Rochester, pretty much stayed the same. although changes in population, they took out a piece of Warsing. I kind of put the piece of Warsing attached to Rochester at the end. But Warsing is one of those places that's going to lose a lot of population. So it pushed out and started grabbing up area from these other districts. And this is where it caused a problem, because these other districts then had to move over and pick up area from the other districts. So as you took out, as you expanded Shawgum and Warsing to include those additional people, what you ended up doing was pushing places like Lloyd up into Esopus, and you pushed Esopus up into Ulster. So now we have, on my map, which I, you know, the balance, the Esopus district runs all the way up alongside, it takes over the Ulster district alongside Kingston and goes up to the south side of Route 28. So those are sort of the changes, you know, I introduced to come up with a balanced district map. So my next steps is to, you know, use the software to actually draw a map, do the checking, see if there's any missing pieces, go through the process that, you know, does the computer, does the software come up with the same numbers I come up with? You know, I mean, there has to be a significant checking of the work I've done before I would feel confident saying this is a feasible solution. And of course, you know, what I'm using now is paper maps with colored Sharpies. So, I mean, that process is still available. But if the software does what I think it can do, you know, it'll be easily done. At least I'll have be able to present to the commission a completely accurate, feasible solution, at least by Christmas, if not sooner. And that's where I stand.
Okay. Anybody have questions or comments on anything that Ken has presented? I'll just say, Ken, if you had Maptitude maybe halfway through what you were doing, would that make your life easy?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, after 6 months, I've been asking, where's the...
No. You certainly did it, I don't want to say the hard way, but, you know, you went at it with the tools that were available to you. And, well, of course...
Really down on the weeds.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, you know, there's not much you can't do with a relational database program and a bunch of software or a bunch of data like the census data. But, you know, my message is that you're probably better off dealing in groups. And if you don't have the right numbers, split the group. Don't try and do things with a block by block approach.
Well, I'm intrigued. I definitely want to try just starting from the block group level. I understand what you're saying, Ken, just using the aggregates. It would be interesting to see if it can work.
Yeah.
You know, there's at least one solution, I think, and there's mm-hmm. probably other ones. But you know, I feel much more confident. In May, we won't be scrambling around to find a map to give to the county.
Right. And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because May 20th is one of our deadlines, one of our deliverables. We have to have a final draft, what we would consider a final draft, that we voted upon to present to the citizens of the county, and have at least one hearing, perhaps more. And then in July 20th, we have to present our absolute final, given the input that we had received from the hearings on July 20th. We have to submit our final plan with the help of this great software that Rob was talking about, that generates all these pages that the Board of Elections need to the Board of Elections by that time. So, you know, it'll be here sooner than later, and you know, before we know it, we'll be bumping up against some of these deadlines. So Ken, I mean, thank you for, you know, taking us on this odyssey with you. I think I understand and certainly respect, you know, what you've done and the way you've done it. And you did it, as I say, with, you know, a compass and a sextant. And whereas, you know, we now have some software that, you know, will accommodate, you know, our own exercises here. So thank you very much, Ken, on behalf of
the commission. Well, you're very welcome. And thank you for the opportunity to discuss this.
Sure. Sure. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'd like to switch around old business to new business. An element of the old business is that the commission on reapportionment is going to be creating guidance document for public participation, and this software will enable people to do what we're doing, to I guess a certain extent, and we don't want to mislead the public by saying that anything goes. And you know, on the other hand, we want the redistricting efforts to be purposeful and useful to our efforts for our consideration. And Andy and Travis, Andy Monk and Travis Rask, you know, volunteered to draft that up. And so I'll just ask you, Andy, have you begun that, or do you have anything in process in this regard?
We haven't yet, but now that we've seen the way the software works, I think we'll have a much better idea of what specific guidance to provide to the public. So I'll reach out to Travis and we'll get that ball rolling.
Great, great. Thank you so much. And we'll pick that up at the next meeting. Does anybody have any questions about this? I mean, we really appreciate what you're doing.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted, if Rob had any idea when we could get this on the website, I think we could put it on the draft. I think there's a spot for it on our website that says draft plans, where we could put the link and directions.
Well, I think part of the directions would be the guidance, what the commission expects of the public. And as I said, I wouldn't want people to jump onto something that
before that, we have guidance. Okay.
That would be my take. What do the rest of the commissioners feel about that?
I agree.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Putting the cart before the horse.
Okay, great. All righty. On to new business. Do any of the commissioners want to raise any business that we haven't raised that we need to, for either for tonight or for a future meeting? Okay. Does anybody on Zoom or on the telephone have anything that they would like to hear from either tonight or in the future? Or to discuss, or to reflect on.
I do one thing, but I'll let the public.
Sure.
Mike Bannon has a comment.
Rob.
Oh, okay. Well, I just think we need to set up a process whereby, because now everybody has access to the software. The public's going to quickly have access to software once it gets loaded. So there needs to be a process whereby the board's business, the commission's business going forward, is going to be looking at the software and saying, and looking at the individual maps. And there's a way. So I think we need to come up with a process, essentially. It's like, but you can share your plan. Everybody can share plans. Everybody can see them. And maybe amongst the board, they can say, hey, I posted this plan and this is the name of it. If everybody has like a deadline where they have all the commissioners come up with their own little plans or big plans, and they can share them with the rest of the board, and then they can review them, and then we can discuss them and we can show them online. And also for members of the public, they can share plans and they can point out things they may have shown during public comment. I just, some sort of process needs to be put in place. So it doesn't become chaos.
I think that's a very good idea. And picking up on your great idea, Rob, I'd like to suggest I'd like to have a meeting offline with our first and second vice chairs, so that'd be Sarah DiStefano and Andy Monk, and to see if we can come up with a process of expectations, certainly for ourselves over the coming months. We need to set a timeline and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and by when we're going to do it. So Andy and Sarah, would that be acceptable if we set something up? Set it up with you.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me.
Okay. And then we'll get back to everybody on the commission with that and for approbation. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for that, Rob. Anybody else have something that they want to add or hear about?
Looks like Mike Baden has his hand up, but oh, good. We can remove himself from me.
Mike.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. And I just wanted to say something that I think I said way, way, way back when you were first meeting, and somebody mentioned it tonight. I'm not sure who, but thinking not just in town boundary lines, but school districts, fire districts, even as small as individual water districts, trying to make the areas have some sort of commonality. I think I used the example that happily did not continue in 2010, where Marbletown was divided by Route 209, and people on one side of 209 were in one legislative district and people were on the other side were in a different legislative district. And that, to me, was a really terrible divider, because you divided a business area between two legislative districts. And luckily that was fixed. But just wanted to sort of reiterate that it's not just town boundary lines. There's a lot of other commonalities that can go into it. And something I can maybe add to having been a census coordinator in 2010, those block units, the way the census does them, at least the way in 2010, and I know they've shuffled them to some degree, but when you're driving down the road, every time you get to a new left turn, you make that left turn and you continue back around until you either reach a town boundary line or you reach another road, and you essentially make a complete circle at some point. And that's why some census blocks are massive when you get up in the Shandaken and the mountain areas. And when you get into the city of Kingston, you're going to have very small block levels because the city of Kingston is laid out in a grid pattern. So that's just to help you guys understand how census blocks are created. I'm not sure how they do the block groups. It was fascinating watching that exercise, but the blocks themselves, that's how they're created. Or at least it's how they used to be. I'm assuming it's still the same.
Is there a way to determine, Mike, school districts and water districts? I know Sarah was approaching that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, there are maps, fire districts. You might be able to get those from county EMS. I'm betting, and Rob, you can probably chime in. I'm betting County Information Services probably has school districts map, maybe. I don't know.
I can tell
whether you can import them into the data. I don't know if you can or can't, but at least you could look at a paper copy of the map and have a rough idea of street boundaries, or even another offline map, or another computer generated map. But I just want to point out that commonalities are not just like, for example, in Rochester, Kerhonkson was included with the town of Rochester because the hamlet of Kerhonkson is split part in Rochester, part in Wawarsing. But most people in Kerhonkson, because they're so close to Rochester, identify as being in the town of Rochester, even though they're in the town of Wawarsing. So that's just one example.
I know part of the New Paltz district went up into Esopus because that's followed the school district boundaries in that case at the time. And maybe when we get closer to some finished maps and we're just like tweaking them, we may want to put those polling places, the 83 polling places in it too.
though something tells me that's going to be nearly impossible to.
Yeah.
With 10 of these districts required to be moved and 83 polling places. I mean, I think we can do our best to do that, but I think it's going to be real hard with the data that we have in front of us to keep people in the same one that they went to before seems unlikely. Yeah, unlikely. But I mean, of course we can try, but I think it's unlikely.
Well, you really need to make a first pass at something that makes sense and then go in and tweak it. And make some changes, but you don't have a lot of flexibility on this.
Well, I think it certainly complicates things to talk about school districts, fire districts, water districts, polling places. To keep all of that in mind, I would say that our intermediate targets really need to be a bit more modest and not that we're going to be doing everything with a flourish and be done in a week, but I think we'll have to get started on this and then perhaps look at some maps, and if it makes sense and if it's doable, we'll take a look at that. So I think it's called considering certain things, considering boundaries. So Mike, thanks again for making this difficult for us. I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's more the finessing, I think. I'm not saying that should be the basis for your beginning, but when you're getting where, I'm 100 people over in this district and I'm 100 under here, using that as a just a little bit of a guidance when you're finessing. I don't think that's where you start out. I think that's where you. That's where you you put the icing on the cake, as it were. So
sure. No, I understand, and I think this it bears on this little discussion we're going to have on process that Rob started us off on, and that three of us are going to try to make a draft for everybody to consider, and that would be sort at the end of and the end of the process, icing on the cake, as you say. All right. Well, thank you for that. You have anything else, Mike, that you want to add?
No, just good luck to everybody. I think in this group, Fawn and I, as far as I know, were the only two members of the public last time who made maps. So and I can already tell you, I've already clicked on the link and started looking at it. So I look forward to trying my hand at it too.
Oh, great. we look forward to what you come up with, Mike. All right. Does anyone else on the call or on the Zoom have anything? These were great, by the way. Have anything that they want to add or have us address in the near future? Anybody sees a hand or no? Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to request a motion. Pardon me, a motion for adjournment. Thank you for this meeting.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question for Fawn. Is there any way? Is there any idea if we're or when we will have in person meetings again? Have you heard anything?
Well, the legislature has been meeting in person, and I suppose in theory, if you folks want to meet in person, we could arrange that. We just have to get a room large enough for separation. Mm-hmm. So if that's something you decide you want to do, like to sit together and work on one big map on a screen, we could probably, that's the way they did it last time at the end. And, if you want to try to do something like that, I'm sure we could make that happen for you.
Or even a hybrid of that, Sure.
Well, doesn't the exemption from open meetings end at the beginning of the year?
Currently, I believe the executive order ends the end of the year.
Yeah, so it may not be up to us to decide what we do.
Right. It might be January. We have to meet in person. The last executive order kept getting extended. And with the COVID numbers on the rise right now, I'm not sure. We're kind of taking it a day at a time. I know the city of Kingston started meeting in person. We may be meeting in person, the legislature this month. That those things are being decided right now.
I see.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have any last minute thoughts? Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Okay, Donna, second, please.
Seconded.
Sarah, all those in favor? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you on December 8th, and we'll talk to each other in between.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Have a good night.
Nice Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah.
Good night.
Good night.